Hi, this is Jim Swilly. Welcome to Metron Live. Metron is a Greek word that means sphere of influence. I believe in living your best life possible, and that's the reason for this podcast. This is my Metron. Now let me help you discover yours. Jesus is not the reason for the season. The reason for the season was the winter solstice.
That's right.
And the Catholic Church Christianized it. Jesus was actually born the first week of April, and
right.
the pagans had been celebrating Winter Wonderland and Let It Snow. They'd been celebrating that centuries before
yeah.
Jesus was born in Bethlehem. And just so you know, it's never been illegal to say Merry Christmas. That's that's something that's made up to make people scared. I saw people were posting that that the president reinstated the nativity scene at the White House that Barack Obama had taken out, and I'm like, y'all, there's never been a nativity scene at the White House. Barack Obama didn't remove it. Barack Obama, there's videos on YouTube where he says Merry Christmas so many times, you're like, all right, we get it, Merry Christmas. Donald Trump did not put a nativity scene back in the White House, never was one to be taken out in the first place. And furthermore, even if you say Happy Holidays, that's not Antichrist.
Right.
There's other things that happen in December, besides which the word holiday comes from the phrase holy days.
Holy
so
days.
If you say happy holidays, I promise you, Jesus told me personally to tell you, he doesn't care. All these people that are obsessing over, well, they sang too many secular songs today up there, just Spirit and Truth. Let me tell you what Jesus cares about. Do you have a neighbor that needs some help? Did you see some guy on the MARTA train that needed some food?
Come on.
That's what, if you really believe Jesus is the reason for the season, that's what you ought to be obsessing
like
over.
Yep.
So anyway, I was meditating, what am I going to talk about? And the voice said to me, tell them the word became flesh. And I said, well, that's what I've been talking about all month. The Spirit said to me, no, you need to show them that Revelation is like a diamond and you can hold it up to the light and you move it just a little bit and then mm-hmm. you see this whole other facet, this whole mm-hmm. other thing that you haven't talked about yet. And I thought, oh, okay, the scripture that you mentioned out of 2 Corinthians, in the International Standard Version, it says, the written text kills.
Yes.
But the Spirit gives life.
Mm-hmm.
So I said,
goodness.
All right, Spirit of God, tell me Woo. More. What does that mean? What's the message that I'm going to bring to Metron? And I believe it was a message for here today. And it's that the word wasn't meant to be put into stone.
Mm-hmm.
Moses tried that.
Right.
You know, the finger of God wrote the laws of God on tablets of stone, Ten Commandments. By the time we get to the end of the Torah, there are 613 laws that Moses, and if you want to talk about abominations, there's 600 of them mentioned in the scripture, and you've committed about 17 of them this morning. gay people they hear the word abomination a lot from fundamentalists, and I'm like, really? Proverbs says a proud look is an abomination, so you need to wipe that smirk off your face. Which, by the way, I want to say thanks to Wellington for praying this morning. What he didn't tell you is that when the Civil War broke out in Liberia, people were being killed. He has a tribal tattoo, and if you had a certain tattoo, you would just be killed, no questions asked.
Mm.
And he was being lined up. I mean, he could see the bodies of people that he knew floating in the water that had already been killed. And just when he got up there to the thing, that's where he met this guy, and he says, I know you because we played football together. And one thing led to another. He's able to go to Ghana and ultimately to the United States, which he believed God led him to America. And he was back in Liberia 8 years ago when I came out. Now, I tell you, there's some places in Africa where you don't say that you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have ministries in Uganda. Well, they kill people in Uganda for being gay. I haven't been back to Uganda in 8 years. And so when Wellington heard the news, he said, I had to process. Well, what does that mean to me? Because he, you know, I married him and his wife, Memory, many years ago, and dedicated their children who are here with them today. And he said, I had a dream that I was standing out in the road and trucks were coming against me. And he said, they were about to run me over. And just before a truck came to get me, somebody put his hands on my shoulders and pulled me out of the way. And when I turned around in the dream and looked, he said, it was your face. And he said, I knew that God was telling me, this is your pastor. Mm. You believe that God led you to America, and indeed he did. Yes. And nothing has changed. And so he's very, as we say, indicator, he's woke.
Yeah.
Not awakened. If somebody says he's awakened, well, you don't know what you're talking about. Woke is a different thing. You got to stay woke.
That's right.
Is what you got to do. That's actually the title today.
There it is.
Stay you woke. Got to stay woke. So anyway, I was meditating on, all right, well, what do you mean the Word is made flesh? In John chapter 1, verse 1, the King James says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. You fast forward down to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh, not housed in flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the Greek, it says, in the beginning was the Logos. It's where we get the word theologic. Theology is the logic of God. Not in the beginning was the Bible. People say the Bible is the Word of God. I'm like, no, the Bible doesn't even claim to be the Word of God.
Right.
The Bible contains the Word of God. Mm-hmm. It's in there. But David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. The Word of God is everywhere. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. To say that the Bible, those 66 books in our Protestant canon, is the definitive Word of God is an insult to God. That what you're saying is that God isn't still speaking. I promise you, those Bible writers would be the first ones to say, we're horrified the way people have created this thing about the Bible. That's not what we meant. We were walking in the light that we had at that time, and the Word is in there.
Right, right.
It's in there, but it's not all of it. Mm-hmm. God is speaking everywhere. So in the Aramaic, it says, in the beginning was willed action, and that willed action became flesh. There's other translation that says, in the beginning was a living presence. So there was something out there that we call the Logos, the expression of God. And when Moses tried to put it into tablets of stone, it automatically began to try to implode. You know, when he came down off the mountain and he saw that the people worshiping the golden calf, and he was furious, and he threw the tablets down. Of course, in my generation, I don't know if you ever saw History of the World, Mel Brooks movie.
15.
Remember, he comes in off the. 15. Remember, Donnie comes off the mountain with 15.
Right.
I have these 15, and he drops one of the tablets, and it breaks. He has these 10 commandments. And you know, for people that say, "Well, the United States is built on the Judeo-Christian ethic," well, yes and no. Basically, the Ten Commandments, that's in every culture. I mean,
Hammurabi.
That's just basically being a good steward, a good neighbor, a good person. You know, anybody should kind of know you're not supposed to kill or steal or that sort of thing. That was never supposed to become God to people. Ezekiel comes along and he prophesies about a new covenant people. He says, I will take out of them the heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Yeah. Jesus came and he said, your fathers received bread in the wilderness, but I am the bread that came down out of heaven. What's that got to do with the spirit versus the letter? Well, we live in a day and age where even though there's a great move of the spirit, there are literalists and fundamentalists that are still trying to put the word of God in stone.
Come on.
Not allowing flexibility with it. I remember, and I may have shared this with you before. Do I have a certain time? You're going to buzz me at a certain time?
You go.
Like, okay, I didn't know. It'd be like, you know, the Senate hearings, like, your time is now up. This is, you know, the chair recognizes the pastor from Decatur. You know, and it was like that. So gong me if I'm going too far. But my grandmother, Addie Mae, I loved her, and she was... You know, I loved all my grandparents, but I was especially close to her. But my grandmother, you know, she was cut from a cloth where she believed the word was in stone. And I can remember so many phrases that she would say would start off with, the Bible speaks out against that. No matter what you mention, oh, the Bible speaks out against that. I kind of make a joke about it. Now, anything that seems fun or enjoyable or pleasurable, the Bible speaks out against that. It's kind of a joke. But it sort of wasn't a joke. I remember one time she said, the Bible speaks out against that. And I knew enough about the Bible. I said, Grandmother, I don't think that's in the Bible. She says, my young man, the Bible speaks out against sassing your elders. I said, I don't think sass is in the Bible, but yes, ma'am. And this is completely stopped. I honestly haven't gotten a hate letter in 5 years probably. Because what I realize is when you stop bleeding, you stop attracting sharks.
Come on.
When you stop caring about it.
Right.
It's like it just, the sharks don't smell the blood. Anyway, at that particular time, I was getting so much hate mail and I had to get a bodyguard. And it was just like people I went to. There was one day, my first roommate in college who was super close to me wrote me, it was like just the worst possible text on the worst possible day. If you ever just had one of those times where like, this is it, this is the straw that broke it. And it's just, I didn't pass out, I just was so weak, I remember standing in my kitchen reading that text and I just plopped down on the the kitchen floor and I thought, dear God, really? Are people this mad at me just because I told the truth? Mm-hmm. Didn't have a scandal. I wasn't outed by a scandal. I just told the truth.
Right.
And I fell into kind of I wasn't fully asleep, and this was not a dream. And if people say you were just imagining it, fine. I know what I saw. I was kind of in that halfway state between just a depressed sleep and just feeling like my energy is gone. And I laid down on my bed, and all of a sudden, I saw my four grandparents. They were just sitting there, and they looked like they would have looked when I was probably 11 or 12. And they were just sitting at a table, and they asked me, what's going on in your life? And I was telling them, and nobody said much. And I said, I don't know if y'all know this, but I came out, and I came out publicly, and I've lost a lot. I mean, I've lost a lot of people out of my church, and a lot of doors have closed for me. And my grandmother looked at me. She looked like she would have looked around circa 1972. She had her hair. Rubenelle used to do her hair, and it was up, piled up on her head. She had her horn-rimmed glasses. And she looked at me, and she said, Jamarl, on that side, stuff like that matters. But on this side, everybody knows it doesn't matter.
Wow.
They disappeared. And I got up from that bed bulletproof. The depression left me. Anybody that started any homophobic stuff with me, I said, my grandmother Addie Mae said, on that side, it doesn't matter. And I couldn't have said that to her when she was on this side. But on that side, she understands now that the word is not in stone.
Beautiful.
The word is made flesh. So when we say the word became flesh, it means that the word became this entity that we know as Jesus the Christ, who lived as a human being for 33 years, not indefinitely. At a certain point, he said, it's necessary that I go away.
Right.
Because if I stay in this incarnation, you're going to think that God is male. Mm-hmm. You're going to think that God is Israeli.
Hebrew.
You're going to think that God's a Hebrew. Yeah. You're going to think that God's connected to an ethnicity. I'm going to go away, and then I'll come back. And he did come back as the Holy Spirit. And on the day of Pentecost, everybody was in Jerusalem. There were people there from Africa. There were people there from Arabia. Asia Minor. Yep. All of the known world at that time. And we didn't know what to call it, but people heard a sound.
A sound, yep.
If you say we're the only sane people in our family, it may be because we've heard
a sound. Yep.
And when you hear a sound, it leads you to something, and you realize, oh, the word is more than, nothing against the Bible, but the word is more than that.
Right.
Jesus rebuked the Pharisees one day because his disciples were walking through a field and they were breaking off the tops of the corn and eating it. And the Pharisees were obsessing over that. They said, that's unlawful to do that. And Jesus said, look, it was unlawful to eat the showbread in the temple, but when David and his men came back from hunting, they were hungry and they ate it. He said, the man wasn't made for the Sabbath.
Come on.
The Sabbath was made for man.
Yep.
Or people. People weren't made for the Bible. The Bible was made for people.
Right.
It's supposed to be rightly divided. Mm-hmm. So we're going to share that. But before I turn it back over to Pastor, let me just read this. I have some of you are friends with this guy on Facebook. He's a friend of mine from Alabama. His name is Doug Wentz, and he used to be really strong in the prophetic movement, and is very enlightened, and he says a lot of things. I'm like, wow, I never heard anybody say that before. And last week, I looked on his Facebook page, and he wrote this. He says, it says, Declaration for Spiritual Cleansing. It says, I am of God, created in the image of God, and I intentionally wipe away all imposed laws from the great sages of the past that wrote down private interpretations in sacred space as they were working out their own salvation. I absorb as a sponge all spirit essence from what I've read, but I aggressively clean out of my subconscious mind all things from their era that produces a crooked image of God based on their cultural norms, which bring the kind of shame upon me today that does not allow me to deal with my shadow side. I hereby reorder my being based on what I can bear in the now. Remember when Jesus told, they were asking him about marriage, and he says, you may not be able to bear this. Not everybody can bear this now.
Right.
And he would say that. He would say,
it's a mystery.
I have many things to tell you, but you can't bear them now. Mm-hmm. So if the Bible was the definitive in stone word of God, then Jesus
things.
Was a liar. Because Jesus said there's some things you're going to learn later that you can't bear right now.
Right.
All right. He says, I hereby render my being based on what I can bear in the now and embrace Jesus' words in John 16:12 that I can bear more love, inclusivity, and insight than the foundational generation could. I let you go, all offenders, that I might take my power back. I love you, all my kindred ones, and I repent from not expressing it with my words and actions. Self, you are divine. You will not bear the dead past, but are everything you intuitively know you are. Dare to be it.
My goodness. Wow, 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 wow. Anybody already got something to eat this morning already? Yeah. So one of the things that Bishop Swilly talked about was the idea of being created, just read it, created in the image and likeness of God. And we're surrendering to that idea at Spirit and Truth that we're not humans having a spiritual encounter occasionally, we are spiritual beings having a human expression. And when we leave these human bodies, we go back to spirit, which is bigger than all of these earthly separations and segregations. And so in that idea that we are made in the image and likeness of God, we have to be very cautious that we don't allow that religiously to turn around on us and to say it sound like this, that I make God in my image. And that really is what we get trapped into in religion, is that God is a man, God is male, God is a heterosexual, God has a wife who's busy in the kitchen, amen. And we tend to create God in our image instead of surrendering to the idea that I'm created in the image of God. And when I came to earth, I learned some stuff on a human level that may have nothing to do with God.
Yeah.
I had an awakening I was woke a couple of years ago and realized that there is no white heaven, there is no black heaven, there is no straight heaven, no gay heaven, come on with me, there is no Christian heaven, there is only spirit. And for many of us, if we believe that way literally, then when we get to that next transition in our lives, it's going to be a surprise to see people that you didn't think were going to be there. the word is becoming flesh. One thing that, and I'll walk through this cautiously, that I've learned is that Jesus did things for us that he really didn't have to do for God. I don't believe God demanded Jesus to die on the cross. We demanded it. I don't believe God demanded blood to love because God was so holy. We demanded it because that was the language that we spoke. And so when we say Jesus didn't have to do it, but we're glad that he did, that's a true statement. He didn't have to die. We wanted Jesus to die. We needed to see the blood. But why? Because we came from all of that, from Abram and paganism and the Ur of the Chaldees, and all of that is where we come from. And so I want to say this cautiously, because I'm saying this both to Spirit of Truth and to Metron. Just the way that God did not need the blood, I don't have to have the Bible anymore. Okay, let's be cautious with it. Because I have studied to show myself approved. I'm a worker needing not to be ashamed. I can rightly divide the word of truth. I can divide it between soul, spirit. I can divide the word of truth. But I don't need the Bible as a check to make sure that I'm hearing God. Okay? That's when you can say the word has become flesh. You don't have to give me a scripture for me to go, that's truth right there. I don't have to be in a Christian sanctuary to hear truth. I can be at a movie theater. I can be at a rock concert. I can be on the internet. I can hear God because God is all and is in all. Amen. And so some of the things that we do as we are architecting an inclusive movement, the same way that Jesus had to give us the blood so that we would be okay, our minds would be reconciled, we still have to give things from the Bible. It doesn't mean that it's good, bad, or indifferent, but if you're still at the place where when you hear truth, something starts to wake up inside of you, but that old filter says, but is it in the Word? Tell me what the Word says. At one point, you'll say, I respect the Bible, I revere the Bible, I study the Bible. No one can argue that these two gentlemen right here don't respect the Bible. I've given my life's work has been to study the Bible. But I do not need to check a scripture to make sure I'm hearing Spirit. When Spirit speaks, I go, that's Spirit, that's God. Watch this. I don't need to check a denomination. I don't need to say, is that a Christian minister? Is that an inclusive person? Is that a Hindu, a Muslim? When my spirit hears truth, white, black, gay, straight, Christian, Bible, Bhagavad Gita, Quran, it doesn't matter. My spirit says, let the word become flesh. Let it dwell in me. There it is. There's the word right there. One of the stories that Bishop Swilly has told about ministering in Africa, he was praying and another gentleman was praying who happened to be a Muslim, and they were kind of realized that they were in a prayerful spot. Eventually, they had an encounter with each other. And even though the religion was different, the spirit was the same. They connected with what we would call the Christ, the Krishna, the spirit, the intention, the force, whatever you want to call it, it connects. I realized years ago that Jesus was not the only Savior character in our history. Now, let me say it clearly. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is the way that I connect to God. I'm certainly not ashamed of that. But I realized that, as Ecclesiastes said, there's a time and a season for everything. And then it goes a little further and says this. It says, that which was has already been, that which will be has been before. And then it goes and says, and that which is going to happen is just the history repeating itself. And so I began to study about the word becoming flesh, that there have been many incarnations of God, not just Jesus of Nazareth in a manger in Bethlehem, but there has been Lord Krishna, Mithras of Mesopotamia, 12 disciples walking on water. Even the communion that we take was instilled by Mithras of Mesopotamia. That's not something that we started. That was started by another Savior character. So I came to church one Sunday and said, I've got good news for everybody. There have been many Saviors that have come throughout history. And everybody went, what you mean? Let me talk about my Jesus like that. I got to go. You know, I got to walk out of here. And so I gave this whole teaching about the Christ consciousness and that the same thing Jesus did, others were trying to do because in God's grace and providence, God has sent characters throughout history to give us the similar word. Love your neighbor, love yourself, love your God. That's how you need to figure out. Bishop said earlier that Moses gave us 10. God gave us 10. Moses turned that into 600. But Jesus took 600 and said, just do 3. Just love God. Love your neighbor, love yourself, and you can hang the rest of the law and the prophets on those things right there. And so the idea of the word becoming flesh was very real to me when we as a spiritual community were having to kind of wrestle with this idea that there have been other Savior characters throughout history, all sent from God with a similar message, until I found a character in the Bible named Melchizedek. Melchizedek was a high priest of Salem who Abram first paid tithe. That's where we get tithe from, Abram giving a tenth to Melchizedek. When you begin to study Melchizedek in Hebrews chapter 6 and 7, you realize that this Melchizedek was really, Jesus really is this, not only the second Adam, Jesus may be the second Christ in the Bible. And so we begin to study Melchizedek, and you find out that Melchizedek was never born, would never die. had no parents, was made, and then finally it says, Melchizedek was made like the Son of God. He exists forever. The next verse says, and Jesus is a priest according to the order of Melchizedek. All of a sudden, our church came alive. Oh, Melchizedek, yes, there was a Christ figure named Melchizedek. Now I can believe my pastor. It was like everybody went, oh, thank God. We found something in the Bible. But here's what I want to tell you. You knew in your spirit. You knew before we found Melchizedek that God was bigger than one Savior, that God was sending the same vibration, the same light, the same love, the same idea many times over before you found Melchizedek. But it was a check for us to say, can I receive truth if I can't find it in my Bible? I believe the time is coming when the Word not only has become flesh December 25th or April 2nd, whatever, that the Word is becoming flesh in you. And now it's dwelling among all of us. I'll say this, then I'll pass it back over to my cousin. One of the things about literalism that's very silly to me is that really no one that we know is literal. They're literal about the things that they want to be literal about. And so when you really study Scripture as we have, you find, and I know my cousin doesn't like to use the word contradiction. I've heard him say we've gone from glory to glory. But even with that, what we're admitting is that the Bible is getting better with time. Or, if we're not careful, that God is getting better with time. In the Old Testament, God had anger management issues, you know, throwing people here, burning people, flooding people. And then all of a sudden, in Jesus, God has gone to rehab. God is...
He got saved,
went to therapy, found his inner child, you know. All of a sudden, God is nice and inclusive, and Paul is gracious and graceful. And so we have this idea that God is getting better with time. I know this, that God is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow forever. The I Am is going to be the I Am. And so when the Word becomes flesh in you, you realize that we read the Bible, we study the Bible. The Bible is a guide, but the Bible is not God's word to man. The Bible is man's word about God. And over time, that word is getting a little bit better from glory to glory. One of the things that I struggled with in study was when I found the contradictions in the teachings of Jesus. Jesus said to, he rebuked Peter for using a sword and then put Malchus's ear back on his head. A few days later, he said, hey guys, let's put all of our money together and buy some swords. Anybody feel that? That's hard. And it even gets quiet in here now because y'all don't want me messing with Jesus, you know. Jesus, one time, let's be peaceful. No, let's go buy some swords. Watch this. Jesus, don't call me good. No one is good but God. I'm so good, if you don't praise me, the rocks will cry out. Anybody feel that? And so even in the Word becoming flesh, we have to be cautious that we don't say that Jesus is the Word becoming flesh. Jesus allowed the Word to become flesh in Him when the Son of Man became the Son of God. That's why Paul said, once perfected, He became the author of eternal salvation. And watch this. The same Spirit that lived in Jesus that caused Him to become the Christ is now living in me, living in you, living in us. And so the Word becoming flesh is not just about a baby in a manger. It's about the logic and the thoughts of God coming alive in you. Somebody say amen, amen.
Well, and amen. Hebrews says that he even learned obedience to the things he suffered. Right. Even Jesus himself said, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. The cross wasn't plan A, but because he had given Adam authority to whatever, he brought the animals to Adam, whatever Adam called him is what he would call him. Right. Adam said, I hid from you because I was naked and I was afraid. So God says, oh, okay, then I guess I'll have to call you naked and afraid. That's not how I saw you.
Right.
The fall was a paradigm shift. Mm-hmm. Adam felt like the glory had departed him.
Right.
That's not what God saw. God just came and says, Adam, where are you?
Right.
Just like, oh, nothing's changed. Adam said, I'm hiding from you. So that's why Jesus says, can we just go with plan A? Because you know what Jesus actually said about being cleansed? He was preaching one day and he says, now you are clean through the word that I've spoken to you.
Wow.
The cross was because, like you said, people came out of blood sacrifice and it gave them a touchstone. And this is kind of where I'm at with Christmas right now, because I love all of it. The ministry of reconciliation to me is reconciling all things. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is like a man who brings treasure out of his house,
old and new.
Both things old and new. Last night we flew out of JFK back to Atlanta, and as I got, I've done this my entire life, as I'm getting on the off the jetway, when we get to the planes, I don't really enjoy flying that much. I mean, I do it, but it's not my favorite thing. While they're everybody's getting in there, I put my hand on the plane, as I've done for years, and I said, and I could even argue with myself about the semantics and the theology of this, but I said, I plead the blood of Jesus over this plane.
Covered in the blood.
The angel of the Lord encamps round about me to keep me in all my ways, and with long life he satisfies me and shows me his salvation. Now, I could split hairs with you and tell you why I don't fully believe that that's exactly what those... I don't even think pleading the blood is in the Bible.
Right.
That came out of my tradition.
Right.
And it's something that it personally gives me comfort. It's a placebo
sure.
for me.
Of course.
And
of course.
So I'm not... That plane's not taking off till I plead the blood. I don't tell you you have to do it.
E-bubble.
I'm saying... I'm not getting on that plane until I say, I plead the blood of Jesus over this plane. That's why I have no regrets about my life, all of my Pentecostal heritage. I love that. There were things about the Pentecostals that went too extreme. They became too legalistic, and the word became in stone for
tablets of stone.
But the actual flow of the Spirit, I love those things.
Love
the,
it. Yeah.
The at least the Pentecostals were out of the box. They believed in the supernatural. They were multicultural before anybody else was. Back mm-hmm. at Azusa Street in 1905, they were now later the word became stone and they divided everybody up into the Church of God in Christ and the Assemblies of God
yep.
and the Church of God. But when the Spirit was moving, everybody was together. They were in some ways more liberal about women. They didn't let women wear pants or pierce their ears, but they would let them preach. They did honor the anointing of women's lives. So I will say, well, there's things about I've got tent revival sawdust in my veins, and I'm proud of that.
Mm-hmm.
And see, now all things have come full circle. What's so cool is when you are woke and you step out of mm-hmm. the stone tradition, mm-hmm. you no longer dash your foot against a stone.
Wow.
Because he bears you up.
Wow, wow, wow.
His angels bear you up, and you come mm-hmm. up to a higher frequency, and you're able to see with clarity and not even rebuke other people. You say, well, I know you're not there on your journey yet.
Mm-hmm.
Namaste. That which is sacred in me honors that which is sacred in
Beautiful.
You. But what I can see is that I was Pentecostal. I was charismatic. I was word of faith. Those word of faith people taught me a lot. They taught mm-hmm. me about the words of my mouth, speak
right.
to the mountain, and all of those things. I believe those things. But then they found out later that people like Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland were influenced by E.W. Kenyon, who went to the, the Emerson School,
yep.
Ralph Waldo mm-hmm. Emerson. And they said
thought.
He's at Transcendentalism mm-hmm. and he was a mystic. And I'm like, mm-hmm. that makes me love it even better. That's like, that's not a deal breaker for me.
That's right.
Like, oh, this is cool. This is what we've been saying all along.
Right.
So what do we do about Christmas? Do we celebrate it? Man, night before last, we went to St. Patrick's Cathedral. We go every Christmas. We listen to their Christmas concert, and it's beautiful. Clarice, you would have loved it. They had the full orchestra and the harps and the flutes. And there's this woman that sings O Holy Night every year. I sing it. Other people sing it. It's fine. But she is my go-to person. And she's just angelic. And she has this real contralto voice. And she was singing. She didn't overdo it. It wasn't overproduced. She just sang it. And I'm crying like, oh my God, it was so beautiful. It ministered to me so much. Nobody's ever going to take that away from me.
Right.
I know that O Holy Night wasn't December 25th.
Mm-hmm.
I know that shepherds didn't come that night, and the wise men didn't get there till 2 years later.
That's right.
And they weren't even Hebrews. They were Zoroastrian Persians who were magicians. That's where we get the word magi, who didn't even know what the Bible was or the scriptures. They had no idea. They charted
the
zodiac and said, where is he? Not who is the savior of all mankind. They said, where is he who was born the king of the Jews? That was their paradigm of him. Mm-hmm. And they found him and they worshiped him, and they weren't converted to Judaism.
Right.
They sure didn't become Christians. They worshiped him. They honored him. And then they went back their zodiac and all that kind of... They were woke. So I know there wasn't a holy night where everybody was there in the manger scene like we think that was. That President Trump just restored to the White House. Praise God.
Thank God.
When he said, you can say Merry Christmas now, I'm like, y'all, come on. Nobody ever said you couldn't say Merry Christmas. And like I said, Jesus doesn't care. I promise you. Whoever and whatever Jesus is now, because his name isn't even Jesus now.
Right.
John said when I saw him, he had a name written on him called the Word of God, and he had a name that he knew that nobody else knew but him.
No one could speak. That's right, yep.
But if you need the J-E-S-U-S, fine. I love it too. Believe me. Put my hand right on that Delta plane. I still know how to speak in tongues if I need to. That's still in there. I don't want to get together every day and hear people speak in tongues all day long, because Paul even said it's obnoxious. It's like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. You know, less is more. A little bit of that goes a long way. I used to have remember when Larry Lee used to do that morning prayer thing? We used to do that, and then I'd meet everybody at 6 o'clock in the morning. We'd pray in tongues for an hour. And I'd look at my watch, we're like, here we go, and go. And I'd start. And one day I'm walking back and forth, speaking in tongues, and I got this picture in my head of God looking at his watch like, really? Could y'all turn that down a little bit? I was like really surprised. I'm like, don't you like this? Don't you like us talking and speaking on tongues a little bit? And when you operate in the Spirit, you realize, wow, that's a part of the Spirit.
Right.
But I've heard people say that you mentioned you can be in a movie. You hear a song, you hear a line in a song, and you're like, wow, that's revelation. By the same token, a song could negatively affect you. I'll give you an example. There was a man named John Newton who was a slave trader. He bought and sold people. He carried people from Africa across the Middle Passage. Mm-hmm. One day he had an epiphany and realized that human trafficking was wrong. He was born again, basically. And it so amazed him that he was able to see the error of his ways, because he came from a generation where Europeans didn't think that was, they thought it was right for them to take Africans and buy them and sell them. They thought God approved of it, because they had scriptures that supported
That's
slavery.
Right. Yep.
There's even scriptures that support slavery in the New Testament.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, y'all didn't know that, did you? Paul said, slaves,
obey your masters
in all things. And even if they're a believer, don't think that he's not better than you. Even Paul, with his revelation, still supported slavery.
Wow.
But this man had such a revelation that he was amazed by it. And he sat down and he wrote these lyrics, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. That was his personal mea culpa for the wretchedness of slave trading. Mm-hmm. So that was his testimony. Right. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind in this area, but now I see. Well, now, I love Amazing Grace. It's in my DNA. Mm-hmm. But now we have generations of people who have taken on his repentance for the slave trade
come on.
Believe that they're wretched.
Right.
Amazing Grace, saved a wretch like me. I'm rich. Well, no, I tell you, I don't think I'm perfect, but I don't think I'm wretched.
I'm not a wretch. Yep.
I mean, that's on you, John Newton. I'll sing a couple of those verses, but you lost me on that one. Like, no, that's all you. I never bought or sold anybody. You're wretched. I'm just a little unorganized sometimes. But that's how doctrine and theology gets in stone, and people have this idea.
Right.
I mean, I've even gone to pretty progressive New Testament churches that are, you know, they're not quite where we are, but they're not, mm-hmm. you know, they're more grace-oriented. And I listen to the lyrics of their songs, and even they sound like, God, we just can never please Him. God, right. I know right. I always fail you. I know you're always disappointed. I know, Clarice, one time we were talking about that song. It has the same melody line from South Pacific. This is the air I breathe, which is beautiful. You got me on that. This is the air I breathe. Okay, good. But then it goes into, mm-hmm. and I'm desperate for you. I'm like, wait, why would you go from this is the air I breathe to I'm desperate for you? Desperate means despair, like I'm despairing that I can't right. find God. Right. Paul stood in front of the temple of the unknown God and spoke to heathen, mm-hmm. and he said, look, and he's not far from any of us.
In him we
live and move and have our being, as your own poets have said in your own Greek mythology.
Wow.
I'm not desperate for God. God's everywhere.
Come on, come on.
I'm not hungry for the Word of God. I am the Word of God.
I am the Word.
And I tell you, you know, I was taught in Bible college, if the text says one thing and your heart says something different, you disregard your heart and you go with the text. Now I believe just the opposite. Now I read the text and I say, and this is what makes me study more.
Right.
Because I read something and I think, that can't be right. Like this idea that I do not allow women to have authority over men. I mean, people have culturalized that.
That was
an administrative letter that Paul wrote to one particular church, mm-hmm. because of a situation with a woman in that congregation. That wasn't right. meant to become a doctrine.
Now it's a doctrine.
Paul would be horrified. Well, I don't know. Paul didn't like the ladies all that much anyway. But that's a different story. But that's not what he meant. I think Paul, personally, and I love the epistles, I think Paul would be shocked that we have taken his administrative letters
right.
that were written to specific churches, and we have said, this is the Word of God. Now, I will quote Scripture, but I will always say, well, it's like David said, or it's like Paul said, or so-and-so said, because when people say, well, God said this, I'm like, no. God didn't say, if your daughter is raped, you can sell her to the rapist for a reduced price. Moses said that. And if Moses said that was the Word Woo. Of God, I love Moses.
Right.
And if Moses said a burning bush spoke to him and said, I am, like, okay, that resonates with me. That
it
deep
does,
calls
yeah.
into my deep. I got you on that right. one, Moses. But on this other thing, you know, Moses, when you said God told you to tell those men to go in the city and kill all the people, and then you were mad because you said God was mad because they didn't kill the women too, and you sent them back and said, well, kill them, but just kill the old women, keep the young women for yourself.
Woo.
You're telling me in the book of Numbers,
the word
God
of the Lord.
Told you that? Because if you say that was
That's
the word,
word
of God,
That's a good word.
Then I'm going to need a brochure on atheism. I'm going to have to look into that because... For God, you say that was the Word of God. No, Mo, that was...
The Word of man.
That was
God.
The Word of man.
That's right.
And if Moses were standing right here with me today, he would say, because he's on the other side now, he would say, yeah, my bad. Hello, God. Hello, God.
What had happened was...
What had happened was... my men hadn't had any action in a long time. And the way I kept them happy was kill the women unless you see one that looks good to you and just keep it for yourself. You know what I'm saying? That wasn't. I just tacked it, thus saith the Lord.
That ain't God.
This is why even Paul came along and said, you must rightly divide the word. I think I used this analogy when I was here last year, mm-hmm. but I love crab legs. It's an abomination to eat them, but I love them. But I only eat them like maybe once a year when I'm on vacation because it's a lot of work. You know what I mean? It's like you got to really love crab because you have to crack the things and make a mess and you got this big pile of shells. You don't just sit mm-hmm. down. And I don't want to go to like to rot, you know, one of these places where they have that rubbery stuff that they say is it's crab-like. I don't like that. I don't even know what that is. Some silly putty thing they got. I'm talking about the real crab. This like king crab legs that you have to break open, and you have the little fork. You pull it out, and it's delicious. There's a very it's a lot of work for a little bit of crab
meat. It is. Yeah, that's right.
So if I saw a plate of the crab legs in the shell, and somebody says, "Are you going to eat that?" I would say, "Well, I'm going to eat part of it. I'm going to have to work through some things and break it open and crack it open." And so when somebody says, "Do you believe the Bible?" I say, "Well, yeah, but I got to crack it open because there's a lot of people's prejudices and ideologies and misunderstandings."
Yep.
Did you know, and I hope I can say this here, because I've said it other places and got some flack. There's a whole group of people now that believe that the earth is flat because they say the Bible says the earth is flat.
That's right, yeah.
And I'm like, y'all, seriously, you haven't seen the pictures from outer space? I mean, I'm no scientist, but I can look at a picture and say, no, it's round. I heard a guy interviewed, and he says, no, the Bible says the earth is flat and has four corners, and from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the Lord's name must be praised. And they believe that the president is being kept quiet because if he told the truth, that the government would kill him. And these are all people that are getting this from the Bible.
Yep.
Well, he knows the truth, but he can't tell us that the earth is flat. I'm like, oh, snap,
y'all don't get crazy.
Y'all are cray-cray. Cray. I mean, have you ever been to the beach? Can't you see that horizon when the ships go over it? Where did you think they went? This was settled, I mean, for whatever. I know it's not politically correct to honor Christopher Columbus anymore, but he did make a statement for the roundness of the earth. Yeah, he went to what we call the Americas and came back. You know, they thought he'd fallen. I mean, come on, really? We're arguing over that? But that's how...
The literal mind.
The literal mind says, well, no, the Bible says it. Look, baby, the Bible says a lot of things. People that want to argue with you about certain things, they think, you haven't read a whole lot of it, because there's a bunch of stuff in there that even those writers now would say, yeah, I'm going to take that out. I've written 16 books in the last, I haven't written one in several years now, but even that one, which I would say was the most enlightened book I wrote to date, even now, if I wrote it today,
edit it.
I still sell them. My parents' basement's full of boxes of them. If you want to buy one, I could help you with your Christmas shopping. So I'm happy to move the inventory. But if I were writing it today, I've already changed so much in the last 8 years.
Edited.
I would think, I'm not throwing it away, but I'm thinking, well, I don't even sound like that now.
Wow, it doesn't
mean that that's a bad thing. It just means like, well, that's kind of not where I am now. God is in the now. And when people say, well, you don't sound like you sounded 30 years ago.
Thank God.
Thank you.
Thank God. Yeah, thank God.
You mean I'm alive? It's because the Word is made flesh and it dwells among us.
Woo! Come on, somebody say amen. Yeah. So we are being transformed into that image, but from glory to glory. Here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. One thing I'll share, and then maybe we'll kind of bring this to a close. My cousin has we don't use the word as much as we used to, an anointing, to really speak a word of blessing, and I want him to do that over this house, over all of us today. But one thing that I want to bring down to a practical level is... this idea of the Word becoming flesh. Where is the Word? How do I get the Word? Is it in a Bible? Is it in a service? Is it on the internet? Is it in some type of conference? Is it in a song? Is it in some type of inspiration? Moses, as simple-minded as he was, he asked the question, he said, God, where is your Word? Where is your, that I may not sin against you? And God spoke back to Moses and said, we believe, that he said, Moses, the Word is not very far from you. You don't have to go across the earth, across the ocean. Watch this. To Moses, the Word is nigh you, even in your mouth. Now, this is before there was a Bible, before there was an Old or New Testament. God was saying to Moses, there's something already inside of you that is the Word. You just have to wake that thing up again. We say a lot on Sundays at Spirit and Truth that you're not here to learn anything. And I'm not here to teach you anything. I am here as a spiritual guide to remove the obstacles that keep you from seeing what you already know. What does that mean? You already know the word. So when you hear it and get a confirmation, you can't get a confirmation of something you don't already have. Ooh, that's a confirmation. That's revelation. Yeah, because you already knew it. So how do we make this practical? Scripture says this, that that life and death are in the power of what? The power of the tongue. And so for many years, we would watch our tongues, guard our mouths. If somebody had a cold, especially in Word of Faith, if you had a cold and somebody asked you how you do, and you say, I'm fine, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, blessed and highly favored of the Lord, you couldn't just say, yeah, I have a little cold. Don't be confessing that. Don't be telling somebody you're sick. I'm not sick unto death. I have a cold. It will pass. Is everybody all right with that? You know? So we took that kind of to the extreme that life and death are in the power of the tongue. But the truth is, there is no power in your tongue. Anybody here? The power is in your mind that controls the tongue. And so the renewing of your mind is what becomes the renewing of your words. So speaking, creating, the word becoming flesh. One thing that we say, and we're probably going to get a little sign of it here at somewhere at Spirit and Truth, is this. Three things. I'm created by God. I am creative like God. Last one. And I'm creating as a God. Anybody feel that? I'm created. I'm creative. And I am creating. What am I creating? I am not creating with the words of my mouth. I am not creating with the tongue that speaks the words out of my mouth. I am creating with the consciousness that I am allowing myself to eat from every day. And that may be generationally, it may be culturally, it may be religiously. It may be something that was passed down from five generations that you don't even know why you believe it, but it's still something that's kind of hovering over your family. Paul said it this way, that when we were in those ideas, specifically in the ideas of religion and Moses, there was a veil that lied over our face. But when we turn to Christ, turn to the Christ mind, away from religion, the veil is removed. What is Paul basically saying? When you're in religion, there's some blindness with it. You're not able to look in that mirror and see the glory of God because you still believe that you're a wretch. But when all of that is removed, watch this. When you get the devil out of your mind, you'll get the devil out of your mouth. When you get poverty out of your mind, you'll get it out of your mouth. When you get sickness out of your mind, you get it out of your mouth. I told our church a couple months ago, I said, for 1 week, I want all of us to go on a spiritual fast. What does that mean? Food, TV, radio? No. I want you for 1 week to not say, child, I'm tired. For 1 week, I want us to not, when somebody says, how are you doing? I don't want us to say, girl, I'm tired. I want us to fast being tired for 1 week. Even if you are tired, don't say it. Don't speak it. Begin to tell your mind, I'm glad I'm busy. Somebody needs me. I'm glad I got a reason to get up in the morning. I'm glad somebody needs to hear what I've got to say today. Amen? So in closing, I want us to come to a place during this season. Number one, where we make no room for anything but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? There's no room for depression. There's no room for I didn't get the present I want or I didn't give the one that I should have given. All of that really means nothing. What are we saying? In this Christmas season, I am becoming Christmas. I am becoming the light, the life, the love. It's all good because it's all God. I truly believe that all things are working together for my good. The good work God began in me, He'll see it to the day of completion. All things are working together for my good and for the evolution and unfoldment of my soul. Can you say amen to that? I want us to stand together today, if you will. And I'm going to ask Bishop to just kind of close us out with whatever he'd like to share. And then just speak a blessing over us, over this house, over Spirit and Truth, and also over Metron.
In the King James Version, it says, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the deep. In the concordant literal version, it speaks in present tense. It says, and the Spirit is vibrating over the face of the deep.
My God.
And it is saying to the light, become light, and it is becoming light. Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. The Spirit is vibrating over the face of your deep. And it is saying to the darkness, become light, and the darkness is becoming light. Mm. I speak light over you.
Thank you. Thank you.
I speak wholeness over you. Mm. I speak wellness over you. Mm. Yes, it is written, you're blessed when you come in, and blessed when you go out, and blessed in the city, in the country, in the basket, in the store.
Thank
we
you,
embrace
God.
All of those things.
Thank you.
But I bring you up to a higher consciousness to just say, you are light.
Thank you.
Let
Thank you.
Your light so shine
yes.
before people that they may see your good works and then glorify the Spirit.
Thank you.
I speak to your spirit being and purge your subconscious from the stones of religion that you still stumble over.
My God.
And that you walk in a place of liberty. Where the Spirit is Lord,
yes.
there is liberty.
Thank you, God.
I call you into freedom. And for these next few hours, when you deal with tradition and you deal with all of the neuropaths in your brain that Christmas can bring, good memories, bad memories, people who have to deal with all kinds of things. Some of you, it may be your first Christmas after losing a loved one, or you're dealing with the insanity of kids being shuffled back and forth with broken homes and that sort of thing. I call you out of
Thank
a
you.
Place of confusion and bring
yes.
you into a place of peace.
Yes.
Where you can say, like Jesus said, Satan has come to me, but he has nothing in
nothing.
Me.
Nothing.
Mm. When that thing comes to you that triggers you and pushes your buttons, that you're just able to relax in the next few hours.
Thank you, God.
And just enjoy
peace.
The Emmanuel,
yes.
God with us.
Thank you.
The Word becoming flesh, dwelling in the manger, dwelling in you,
yes.
dwelling among us, dwelling in spirit. In him you live and move
yes,
and have your being.
Mm-hmm.
And that you come to a place of closure in 2018 and resolve issues so that you come into 2019 with a fresh start.
Thank you,
that you're
God.
Able to wake up on January 1st saying, this is the year that the Lord has enabled me to make. I will
Woo,
rejoice
thank you, God.
And be glad in it.
Peace. Yes, 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 yes. I receive it. Receive it, believe it, and perceive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.